Hello. Thanks for tuning in to Film Feud Bollywood. We have a great episode coming up for you guys.
If you like the show, we have a feeling that you love the international version of the show as well, which is simply called Film Feud. We take movies from the IMDb Top 250, and similar to Film Feud Bollywood, toss a coin and feud whether they are worthy of that list.
Some fun episodes include The Prestige, which is full of fan theories.
The twin is a clone, man.
Rocky, which is full of Sylvester Stallone impersonations.
Aya Adrian.
And our deep dive two-parter on Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Personally, I love the Gangs of Wazipur episode, which is filled with us attempting the Bhojpuri accent.
Ajapi, nakabandi ka re.
As well as a parody of Piyush Mishra's song.
Ek taraf mein bond hogi, bond karke bootiya.
All this and more. Every week on Film Feud.
Just like Film Feud Bollywood, you can find the show on munchermedia.com.
Or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're in India, it's right there on the front page of iTunes, so it's super easy to subscribe and never miss an episode.
With that not-so-subtle humble brag, let's get back to our show.
Let's do it.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber...
तुमसे ना हो पाएगा
एक दुनिया दो यार उनको है फिल्मों से प्यार
प्यार
और एक पिक्चर बन गई दीवार
मेरे पास माल
दे फ्यूड यू डिसाइड इट्स टाइम फॉर फिल्म फ्यूड बॉलीवुड
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud Bollywood, the podcast where we debate your favorite Bollywood movies. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
How are you doing, Vikram?
Very well, Vidur. How about you?
Good, 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 good. Ready to feud?
Always, man. Let's do this.
Want to tell the good folks what we're doing here, Vikram?
For sure. So we pick a movie, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against.
Pretty simple. Well, I'm pretty excited because the movie we're feuding today is a very lauded movie. That was actually once in the IMDb Top 250 globally. Neeraj Pandey's A Wednesday.
It was in the IMDb Top 250?
Yes.
That list, man. I have some thoughts.
But that means it's one of India's top exports, arguably.
I don't know. I think the whole voting system in IMDb is a little flawed. So let's not get into that.
Many things are flawed. All that matters was it was one of the Hindi movies on the IMDb Top 250. That means it's very critically acclaimed.
Okay.
Have you watched it recently?
Not recently, but I've seen it a couple of times. I think it's been over a decade since I saw it last, so it's pretty foggy for me.
Well, considering it came out within the past 10 years, that's quite a statement.
Did it?
I think so, 2008.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited because I haven't seen this movie pretty much since it came out. I remember watching it. I remember liking it, I want to say. But I was a different man 10 years ago.
Of course, maturity. I mean, it changes things, doesn't it?
Indeed. Who knows? Who knows how I feel about it? I'm a fan of Nasruddin Shah. And that's pretty much all I remember from this movie, Nasruddin Shah.
My only image from this movie is Nasruddin Shah sitting on a chhat with a table and like some equipment. That's all I remember.
So how about we get to the coin toss?
Let's do it. I'm kind of excited.
How the coin toss works is pretty simple. I will be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for the movie and tails means I argue against. Let's go. And I got heads. Yay, I guess. I remember liking the movie, so there we go.
Okay, I mean...
For once, I made my opinion on the movie known, and the coin supported me.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the whole, I liked it, maybe, is well-known opinion.
It's an IMDb Top 250, erstwhile IMDb Top 250 movie, so I know I'm in the clear here.
I don't think that counts for too much, honestly.
Of course it does.
Given our past experience, it definitely doesn't count for too much.
Given that we have a whole podcast debating IMDb Top 250 movies, maybe not.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, I'm pretty excited to watch the movie, and I think anytime Nasruddin Shah is leading a movie, the person arguing against is pretty screwed.
He's done some stinkers, dude.
Name five.
I can't even name five Nasruddin Shah movies, so that's a tough one. But I remember this this movie about him being a marijuana grower in the hills.
Yeah, that was some like crazy indie shit.
I couldn't watch that movie, dude.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that movie. Didn't he have the whole hippie hair, whatever they call, weaves? No, they call something else.
Yeah, I think hippie hair kind of nails it. He had that, and it was him in his element, right? Because it was a partly English, partly Hindi sort of thing. So it was, the trailer seemed interesting. That's why I saw the movie, and the movie was not interesting.
I have heard that Nasruddin Shah is a connoisseur of the marijuana right there.
Yeah, probably that's why he did it. I don't know. I think it was like his whole...
Akha Bombay world famous connoisseur of marijuana.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason he did that movie was because it promoted like these farmers and their well-being or something like that. So
you've distracted me.
I'm sorry.
We're here to feud a Wednesday. Nasruddin Shah, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I don't stick to the fact.
I don't think I am in a nutshell. I don't mind the whole against angle here. I'd love to watch it.
Okay. Why don't we go and find out? Shall we go and feud this?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Dude, what the hell did I just watch?
You watched a Wednesday. It was glorious.
Was it a Wednesday in the 1980s or something?
What does that mean?
It literally felt like I was watching a movie from the 80s.
It was about 90s blasts.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, fuck rahe, bro. The terrorists were proud of conducting 90s blasts.
Meko fakr nahi hai ye movie dekhne ke baad. Fakr means what? Pride?
Fakr you, man. Who's better than Nasruddin Shah, man? Who is better than Nasruddin Shah? The answer is no one.
God.
He kills it. But you know who does give him some companionship up on that pedestal? Anupam Kher. Good old NSD alums just killing it.
Okay, whatever. Since we're on it already, let's just talk about acting and actors. I feel like whoever casted this movie or whoever Neeraj Pandey was working with, they were like, okay, Nasruddin Shah aa gaya, theek hai, Kher saab aa gaya, theek hai, ab sabse saste mein jo bhi milega, unko le aao utha ke.
What do you mean Nasruddin Shah and Kher saab? What insult is this?
they didn't even bother.
It's Shah saab and Kher saab, or it's the great Nasruddin Shah and Sir Anupam Kher.
I refuse to say that. I'm going to call him Anupam Kher and Nasruddin Shah. Nasir sometimes if I'm feeling.
Nasir. Yeah. Nasu.
Nasir bhai.
You can also call him Common Man if you want.
A common man,
which is what he's credited as in this movie.
Yeah. Can we just talk about the side actors for a second, because obviously they're really important.
Okay, we can, but I want to point out that you're taking me down this hole before I've had a chance to properly express my love for this overall.
Yeah, dude, you have the entire episode to jadofy there, so you can just sprinkle it, you know.
Okay, I will sprinkle all over your face. I will sprinkle my love.
Gaurav Kapoor, dude.
Who's that?
The guy who's playing that hotshot Bollywood actor within the movie. Who got a threat from the underworld, whatever.
Oh, the Chomu who's sitting in Anupam Kher's introduction scene in the station.
Dude, he's so bad, dude. He's so bad.
Okay, he was meant to be bad. He was really bad. He sucked. But he was playing a Bollywood actor who's super young hipster, full of himself, but actually a Chomu, right? Like Anupam Kher thinks he's a Chomu. And so he played a Chomu. He did a good job playing a Chomu, even though he wasn't doing it intentionally. But what he reminded me of, I do remember watching Rang De Basanti and that one scene that Cyrus...
Where he tries to bum a cigarette.
Yeah.
Savukar.
Cyrus Savukar, whatever his name is. He's so bad as an actor.
Yeah.
And
is this like a whole VJ is a bad at acting sort of point that you're trying to raise?
It just reminded me how bad VJs are at acting, because that Cyrus Savukar is the weakest part of Rang De Basanti as a result. And so it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can justify why he's bad, but it's just, my point is like the side actors in this movie, it's not just him. Do you remember the hacker kid?
Yeah, the hacker kid is...
Hey babes, I'm a dropout boy choice, sir.
That was a bad line.
Sir, aapke equipment itne outdated hai. Ab ye S series se N series aa gaya hai. Aap kya kar rahe hain? It's like, what the hell, man? Just get someone, even partially...
Tumse ho paega ye. I'm a dropout by choice.
He's good, but not the best.
It was schlocky, dude. It was schlocky. Lucky, but that's okay. This is the debut movie of Neeraj Pandey. So the movie making itself is very confident. Maybe some of the lines are a little, you know, surface level, you know, lines that you and I might write if we were writing a movie.
I think I can do a tad bit better, honestly.
Okay, why don't you do it then? Why don't you prove it?
Why don't I make a movie to prove how bad a Wednesday is? I don't think I have the time
for
that.
If you were committed, you could call it a Thursday and then... No, listen, it's his first movie. He wrote it and directed it himself, and he got crazy actors to do it. And so maybe it has some weakish spots relative to how good the rest of the movie is, like these side actors or whatever the hell you're going to bitch about in the future. But overall, the overall movie, the theme, the execution, it's a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
How awesome and rare is that in Bollywood? And there are other movies that are even like this, and even they can't stay away from the temptation of adding songs, love story, drama. Simple, bro. It's like a Hollywood movie, like straight up action. It was like, mm-hmm. it was like, you know, a phone booth or something, like a self-contained, small, mm-hmm. just killer, just, you know, just awesome, just a Wednesday, just, you know, themes, you know, just, I'm getting a little lost. So I love you.
You're stumbling. I see you stumbling through a point right now. Just to wrap up my points about the side actors, and this is the most significant side actor, is the journalist. Do you know the journalist?
I am willing to concede in advance if you promise that we don't talk about her more. But if you talk about her more, I'm going to defend it.
I want to talk about her right now and then never again in this episode. Promise.
Okay.
I promise, I swear to you. Okay.
Were you doing an impression of how she talked? Because
kinda, it just happened. I wasn't trying to, but it just happened. Because, dude, that intro scene is like, she's like checking herself out in the mirror. She's like, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. Okay, and then she just starts doing her walk, and there's this like ooh la la type song playing in the back. And then she goes to the mic, and she's like, "Are we ready? Are we good to go?" And then she starts talking in Hindi, like clearly dubbed, overdubbed Hindi of some other actress talking, because I don't think she can talk in Hindi or has an accent.
I just had the worst assumptions about how she got this job. Because she was so bad. She was really out of place. The media angle itself was an interesting one. And usually this is what happens in these movies. You kind of use like one reporter to sort of represent everything media that you want to show about the movie. The media manipulation, for one thing. And the targeting of these hungry reporters will do anything to get a story, right? In the beginning, she's essentially manipulating what some guy needs to say to make her soundbite be better. And then in the end, Nasruddin Shah ends up using her and manipulates her to get what he wants out of the media. So I like the commentary. Maybe the actress wasn't that good. Yeah.
Even alluding to the commentary on media in India, or generally media in general, right? If you notice, like, Nasruddin Shah's character, he has a certain tone. He has a certain way of talking to the police or the forces and you know, like the terrorists as well. Like, he's super serious. But when he's talking to her, like, his tone changes. He's actually very condescending to her. Like, do you remember the last scene where he's like, "Beta, what is 2 + 2? And she's like, "What?" He's like, 2 + 2 is 4. Aap runway 4 pe pahunch jana. Like, he's super condescending. He's like, "Oh, there are so many of you guys out there. Just tell me if you want it or not." I guess that's the commentary part of it that sort
that's
of comes
part
out.
Of it. Isn't that good commentary as well?
I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad, because I really don't know how the media, the news media business works. But I don't think it's going to go out or pan out the way it did in this movie, because according to me, these guys are super hungry in terms of the story and the scoop and stuff like that. So her sort of siding with the police commissioner and doing the favors that he asked her to do and stuff like that, I don't know if that'll happen in real life or not.
It could go either way, probably. That's why her character was right in the middle. In fact, it's a bit of subversion, right? Because you expect her to be so hungry that she does whatever it takes for the story. But in the end, her conscience takes over and she starts helping. And that's what the movie is all about. I mean, it has a bunch of commentaries and then it has this plot, which we'll talk about. But then it ends up being a little authentic from the side of its characters, right? So let's talk about, why did I even let you talk about the side actors first? Can we talk about the main guys? Nasruddin Shah, amazing. Anupam Kher was actually a bit of a revelation for me, because he looks the same in every movie, you know, so you kind of know you're looking at Anupam Kher. I think that affects how I perceive his acting. But in this movie, I really believed him. He fleshed out this real kind of badass, very, very good at his job police commissioner. I thought he did a great job. And then the two cops, dude, Amir Bashir and Jimmy Shergill, good old Jimmy S from his early days in Bollywood. I thought they both did a great job, both in terms of their character and the acting.
I like Amir Bashir way more than Jimmy Shergill. I've never been a fan of Jimmy Shergill. I don't know what people see in him. He's huge in the Punjabi film industry, like, still. He's their top actor. I've never really liked him, so I wasn't a fan of what he did.
Really? Not even in Munna Bhai?
No, I think Munna Bhai was the stupidest Jimmy Shergill role I think he's ever done. But talking about Kher...
Not even in Mohabbate?
I'm just going to move on. Not even... Just talking about Anupam Kher and Nasruddin Shah, I agree partially about what you say about Anupam Kher. He did a pretty good job.
Don't say agree, say concede.
I partially concede. I don't... Obviously, because you're for this movie, you made it sound like he did the best job ever, but it was good. He was decent. He's not the normal Anupam Kher that we sort of expect. And he's actually pretty deep in terms of his skill level, because you see him in a Haseena Maan Jayegi doing some slapstick role, and then you see him doing something like this, and obviously he's a veteran actor. Nasruddin Shah, I know he did well, he did what he's supposed to do, but you know, one thing that really took away from his role is that because most of his scenes, or almost all of his scenes, were outdoors, especially on that terrace where he's planted himself and, you know, running the whole operation.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, I'm sure you noticed, but most of his dialogues were dubbed, right? They weren't actually sort of recorded on set, on location. Yeah. They were dubbed on top of him. So he has a very powerful, or supposedly meant to be a very powerful monologue near the end of the movie, where he's explaining his motives and why he's doing this and all of that. That took away from that role so much. Like, the power of that scene could have been so much higher.
Firstly, you know, most Bollywood movie dialogues are overdubbed, right?
But this was very evidently overdubbed. That was my problem. That was my problem with the journalist as well. Whenever she was talking in Hindi and delivering her news pieces, it was dubbed, and it was very clearly overdubbed. So when you hear that, and when it's done in such an amateurish way, it just takes away from the scene, that because that's what you try to focus. Not try to, but that's what you end up focusing on when you're supposed to be focusing on the performance. So Nasruddin Shah's performance...
I was focusing on the performance. I think this is...
You had no choice. Right. That's why you're focusing on the performance.
No, that's not true. Okay, let's just leave aside Nasruddin Shah for a moment. Anupam Kher's performance, I don't even need the meta context of how he's been in other performances. Just in this one, he's a no-nonsense police commissioner, but the script shows the job of the police commissioner in such an amazing way, right? First, he manipulates the chief minister to get the power to do whatever it takes by saying that I want you to be the negotiator.
That will never happen, by the way it does.
I don't care what the truth is. You probably don't know
also,
for sure as
why
well.
Also, why is Nasruddin Shah talking to the police commissioner? Shouldn't he be talking to someone from RAW or ATS or something? He's talking about getting all these terrorists and all of these people in one location. I'm sure it's outside of the purview of the police commissioner.
But it starts off with the police commissioner because that's who he calls. And then the police commissioner keeps it under wraps, right? That's the whole point of the movie, that this is a secret operation.
No, they involve the RAW and the ATS. They involve all of these agencies.
Yeah, but they keep the whole thing under wraps. That's why he's able to let him go. Let's just get to that. Also, then he's talking to his subordinates. And he's like a no-nonsense guy. He has like true loyalty amongst his subordinates. The way he asks Jai, Amir Bashir, to like potentially sacrifice his life looking for the bomb. The relationship he has with Jimmy Shergill, saying like, "Kaha rehta hai aajkal tu?" And then he says something else, and you know, something like that.
He said, "Aapne hi transfer karaya tha."
Acha, haan, aapne transfer karaya tha. That's right.
Saying, and he's like, okay. And then they move on.
Yeah, it's just like it's a repertoire that is captured in that just one scene. Then when he's telling those guys when they're finally going out, he gives this whole, like, this is not a pre-planned operation. This is extempore. So that's it, guys. Keep your cool. All the best. And come over to my place in the evening. We will all have a drink.
That made me cringe a little bit.
It was a little cringy. Yeah. But at least, like, the commissioner aspect of it was really, really well covered. I loved what he pulled off there. But then, obviously, my favorite scene is when he goes in to interrogate that guy.
Yeah.
And the guy immediately says, "Sir, mere ko kuch nahi pata." And he just, for once, loses his cool. But it still works out. Pucha maine kuch pata hai. And then he slaps him. That scene came out of nowhere, dude. He was so good.
I think the better part of that scene is when Jimmy Shergill walks in and the guy pees his pants and immediately just discloses the thing. Yeah. That, I think, was better because they showed the power and the effect that Jimmy Shergill's character has over these, like, you know, potential terrorists, henchmen dudes, and like informers and stuff like that. So I think that was pretty powerful. But overall, I mean, a few things that Anupam Kher did made me cringe a lot, like that drink scene and even the intro scene where he's like, "That bastard comes into our life and disrupts her. Who does he think he is? A Wednesday."
I didn't get that because he's sitting on Marine Drive and then he's just like, "That bastard," and he came into our lives on Wednesday. But then at the end of the movie, he's the one who lets him go.
Which is obviously never going to happen again.
Well, that's commentary. It could happen. The way they show it, it could happen, right? Everybody slowly gets on Nasruddin Shah, a common man's side. Except Anupam Kher, and then Anupam Kher in the car ride just gets convinced, I guess. So when he's
never happening. Also, his sketch has been faxed to all of these police station agencies. Nasruddin Shah cannot live another day.
ठीक है, देखी जाएगी वो सब.
Apparently, it's off the books, and ये तो कभी हुआ ही नहीं था.
It's cool. Even Nasruddin Shah going to jail is fine with him. Clearly, he accomplished his goal. I just think that ending speech captures it all, man. It's too good. I mean, it's Anupam Kher listening and facing off with random comments to Nasruddin Shah making this Shakespearean soliloquy about the common man. What more could you want from a movie?
Dude, if the sound mixing would have been better, I would have loved that scene, honestly.
That's it? That's your only problem? But speech was great, right?
It was glaringly, like, obvious, right? It just comes in the way.
Wasn't the speech great?
Partly, not really. Honestly, it got a little too much in terms of common man. Bahut zyada ho gaya tha. They went overkill.
Man, this tomato shopper just brings the police force to his knees. Great plan, by the way, too. Plants one bomb.
Also, how does he get all this knowledge in terms of redirecting calls and all of the equipment?
It's easy, bro. He used to be an IT professional in his former life. And right. He just flexed his muscles a bit. Bola to bomb banana YouTube pe itni aasani se milta hai.
Free mein. Mufft mein
wo bhi, mufft mein.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Riveting.
Good stuff, dude. This guy just walks into a police station with a bag. I don't know where he got the RDX from, but he shopped for it.
Yeah, he just went, Google, yeah?
Yeah, it's not that hard. That's the point. It's not that hard.
Yeah, 6 kgs of RDX. Yeah, easy peasy.
This was him representing a city just tired. Bombay, the city, is just tired of being this hotbed of terrorist activity. And also, this movie ended up being so pertinent because it came out just a couple of months before the 2611 attack. One review called it an intelligent diatribe. I must say, I agree.
I'm sure that reviewer had to Google a fancy word and they found diatribe and put it in there.
But overall, it's just a high-budget indie movie, man. That's a great part.
Was it high-budget?
Well, not high-budget. High-budget for an indie first-time director. But it wasn't. I guess it was like a... It was high-budget in the sense it had decent production values for sure. And then it had these two great actors. So, I mean, Neeraj Pandey pulled off something great here. That's why he's still around in the industry making great films.
I'm sorry, bro. I can't get myself to agree with the high production value thing. The music. Let's talk about the music, the score, quote-unquote, in this movie. Why is there so much rock music used?
It's just funky, you know. You wouldn't complain if Anurag Kashyap did it in Black Friday. This was like a mainstream, normal-colored Black Friday.
Mainstream, normal-colored Black Friday. All right, I'll try to remember that. Nasruddin Shah, in his uncle geeky, nerdy getup, does not deserve rock music as his intro music. It does, just does not make sense, dude.
From now on, we can't call him Nasruddin Shah and we can't call him Common Man. We have to call him Tomato Shopper.
Tomato Shopper or Kheer Shopper. Remember, he has to get Kheer because his kids love Kheer. Aapko to pata hai, humare bachche ko Kheer itna pasand hai. Haan, haan, main le aunga.
Actually, the wife interaction, we'll get back to the music, but the wife interaction that I found the funniest is with Amir Bashir, the Jai cop, who's like the most sincere good cop. And it actually shows the tension. He can't tell his wife not to come back to Bombay, which is always a really cool element. He's so sincere and so good as a cop. He doesn't tell his wife to not come back to Bombay before the blast's happening. But in the scene when she's actually leaving and he's dropping on the train, it's so awkward. It reminded of like, when people first start dating in high school, and then she's like, okay, bye. And he literally doesn't like hug her or touch her or anything. Then she just gets in. And then also when he's talking to her and they show the hesitation that he's considering telling her not to come to Bombay. And this was very subtle, which I enjoyed. He's in the bus where the terrorists are being taken and he just says, Anu. And then she says, I love you too. Which is the first real affection they've shown towards each other. I found it hilarious.
Yeah, even Nasruddin Shah's interaction with his wife is... It's very weird. Like, they try to show that Nasruddin Shah is slightly unstable in terms of the anger he has inside him. Because she's like, oh, gussa to nahi hoye, I'm sorry. Like, she's always, like, making sure that he's fine and he's, like, not on edge.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and he's always like, haan, thoda sa aaya tha, ab nahi aa raha hai.
Ab shahar pe nikal
dunga. Shahar pe itte saare log hai nikalne ke liye. So it was weird. And also, just coming back to the music, sorry... Do you remember Nasruddin Shah's...
It's okay.
Oh, thanks. Do you remember Nasruddin Shah's theme?
Was it Metallica?
No, dude. It's really weird. Like, they have rock music for, like, all these character introduction scenes and obviously, like, transition scenes. They'll have, like, power chords and stuff playing. But Nasruddin Shah, if you notice, has his own theme music. So whenever they cut to Nasruddin Shah, that theme music plays. And it's literally, like, this ominous theme playing. And then this dude, like...
Oh, really? I didn't even pay attention.
It's like the snake from Harry Potter just came alive and then just started doing like its own like...
That's not bad. What do you want? Snake tongue. Do you want it to be like John Abraham from Dhoom? That would have been better.
What the hell was that?
You don't remember that?
No.
Dhoom, Dhoom, Aethil. You don't remember that?
So every time John comes on screen, say Aethil?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's basically what this is. It's not definitely not better than that.
The best character introduction by far is Jimmy Shergill. No, I don't remember the music for Jimmy Shergill, but Jimmy Shergill's character, the borderline psychopathic cop, which actually now is like a big issue in the US. Cops are not supposed to be like this, but he is. So for one thing, it was actually really awkward in the beginning because he's wearing trainers. Did you notice that? Like, he's wearing running shoes along with his like shirt pant outfit, which is super awkward. And then you realize he wears them so that he can always chase people because he's chasing people all the time. That was such a great touch. And then just random things like when the terrorist tells him, galti kar rahe ho, his immediate response, acha lagta hai galti karna. It's like so natural.
I didn't think it was natural. Like, the dialogues were meant for him to deliver them in a natural way. But I think Jimmy Shergill has something very inherently flawed in his acting technique.
Dude, galti karna acha lagta hai. I mean, you might not remember the execution of that, but it was the most natural thing ever. The guy just goes typical, like, because he plays Arif Khan, who's a Muslim. So the terrorist is trying to influence him by playing into the whole Muslim aspect. And he just like, galti kar rahe ho tum. And immediately just goes, galti karna acha lagta hai. Like, just totally dismissive as though he's heard it 100 times before. I thought it was really good.
I personally did not like that bus scene at all, because Jimmy Shergill was like, they showed that his tabiz was showing, so all these guys were eyeing it, and then he awkwardly tries to tuck it in, and then like he's always looking away constantly, not making eye contact and stuff. So it was really weird. Like, and I didn't, firstly, okay, I have a question. The combined forces of the Indian police and the ATS and the RAW and the CBI and whoever else is involved could only muster up a yellow school bus for transporting these terrorists?
It's an undercover mission.
A school bus? A yellow school
an
bus?
Undercover mission.
How is that? How is a big-ass yellow school bus undercover?
Well, I'd seen the movie already, so I remember the twist. So I knew that nothing would happen on the bus. But the bus scene actually seemed perfectly geared for an unnecessary action scene. Because the terrorists are just sitting there in handcuffs. I mean, handcuffs give you a lot of flexibility. Just ask your mom. I couldn't help it.
I knew something was coming.
I couldn't help it. Yeah. Handcuffs give you a lot of flexibility, and the four terrorists are just watching them. But then I thought about it during the scene, and I realized they don't have any incentive to do anything on the bus because they know they're about to get freed. So that worked out well. But that bus scene with the tabiz and the Muslim angle is an important part of it, right? They shine a light on it in the movie itself. When the tomato shopper asks, like, what is the name of the officer who I can talk to who's with the terrorists? And then he says, Arif Khan. And then he laughs. You know, they don't, you know, spell anything out beyond that. But just the idea that a Muslim officer is actually escorting the terrorists evokes a reaction. So, you know, it's one of the themes that's being played with. And the bus scene kind of culminates with that.
That reaction did make sense.
It makes sense.
Why is he laughing? So why can't there be Muslim police force
because
members?
He's pretending to be a Muslim terrorist, right? Nasruddin Shah. So the fact that they send a Muslim...
No, he's pretending to be no one. It's assumed that he's that guy.
But he knows they will assume that, given what he's asking for.
But that reaction is still... I mean, I couldn't make sense of it.
You read into it what you want. Yeah. I read into it as genius.
I read into it as bullshit.
Okay.
I also had a big problem. Like, there were these like macro level, like very high level issues that I had problems with in this movie. I understand it's like a first time director, all of that stuff. He had a good support system. He had these great actors. So it's not like he didn't know what he was doing. But the way this movie was shot, I actually made me feel like I was watching a movie from the 80s. All the transitions and the cuts and, you know, when they apply a slow-mo and like the camera angles, how it zooms in, pans out, pans in and all that stuff was very, very amateur.
It was an indie movie, right? It doesn't need to follow the mainstream single screen audience typical Bollywood cinematography. I did find it weird only once, because what happens in a movie like this is that you need to keep the pace moving. So when you focus on Nasruddin Shah, he's just sitting there to make him menacing, to make him actually very to make him very meaningful to the plot and keep the pace of the other side of the story, which is the police side, going. You need to make sure the cinematographer makes up for it. So they kept moving back and forth, even though he's just sitting and talking. It's like the camera's panning left and right for no reason.
Even when he's not sitting, like he keeps taking his chai break, so he'll stand up and then the camera zooms in from like on his backside, zooms out and zooms in. I think Nasruddin Shah didn't do that bad a job at acting. It's just... obviously, the sound mixing of his dialogues, plus the, you know, the nuanced way in which he was trying to portray his character, combined with the substandard cinematography, it just made his acting seem worse than it actually was.
You mean a little less good than how genius it was?
A little less good than how genius it was? No, I do not mean that at all. Substandard is the word I would like to use.
Dude, I think Nasruddin Shah killed it as the tomato shopper. I will never look at tomatoes the same way again.
Right.
Okay.
Now I'm just doing the snake from Harry Potter.
The name is Nagini, thanks.
Nagini.
Yeah.
What's the tongue called again?
Parcel tongue.
Parcel tongue.
You know nothing.
Bhusa, Bhusa, Harry Potter.
Are you quite done?
Yeah. Dude, also his motives, man. Nasruddin Shah's motives.
You mean tomato shoppers?
Sorry, yeah. Tomato shopper's motives. I think his motives were... don't you think they were a little flawed or like overkill?
The whole point is that he wants to go outside the law. The law is not good enough when it comes to terrorists because the law is too kind to them and then it motivates them to keep going. Now, I'm not taking sides here. I can have many nuanced opinions there. That's just this man's opinion, right? Many people feel that way. It takes 10 years to actually sometimes hang, sometimes free, sometimes barter a terrorist, even after you capture them, if you capture them.
But so, he couldn't seriously believe that killing off these four guys would put an end to anything.
It's a message.
To whom?
To that organization.
If these organizations took that as a message, the police or these forces would be killing them willy-nilly.
That's well, you completely missed the point, my simple-minded friend.
Common man, yeah.
They can't kill them willy-nilly because we have what's known as law.
And no, I know. Stop being condescending. I know that, but you understand my point too. Nasruddin Shah, if he's so smart.
Let me explain a thing or two to
okay,
you.
All right.
Okay, I'm kidding, but the police can't do that no matter what. And so that's his whole point. He wants to actually fight fire with fire for once, which we don't do.
But it won't make any difference. That's the whole point.
That's an assumption. You're making an ass out of you, me, and the common man.
So I try to kidnap 4 terrorists who were responsible in multiple bombs going off in the country, and I kill them outside of the law, and then it'll stop? Because they're just the only 4 people who are responsible for it?
Should there be the death penalty? Does the death penalty actually prevent anything? I mean, there's data saying yes, there's data saying no. So this now gives
that's
a data
point. That's besides my point. You didn't answer. I'm only talking about Nasruddin Shah's motives.
Nasruddin Shah's motive is to make a point. It's to make a point that the police doesn't do enough or the law doesn't do enough. And he's taking matter into his own hands. And also it's a reaction to losing control over your own destiny or death, the way these terrorists have made the citizens of Bombay do over many times in the past decade, right? So it doesn't need to be like the perfect reaction in terms of the consequences the reaction has, but it's also just like a lashing out of the common man, of the tomato shoppers.
Okay, but you know what I think about that is Husa
Safa. That's cool. You can keep saying it. It just shows that you have no real points. That's cool. That's cool.
It made no sense, all right? It obviously made no sense. It was only there from a cinematic point of view that, oh my God, this common man killed off 4 terrorists. By the way, do you remember the terrorists blowing up? Do you remember the CGI for that scene?
I don't.
There's this one shot where they show 2 bodies flying out of the explosion. And it literally felt like they made these like dolls. Or dolls are like, you know, like cotton, like cloth. They put them on fire, hung them on a thread, and then just like very conveniently in slow-mo pulled them out of like a burning fire. It's probably how it was done, actually.
Yeah, so what? You're missing the point. It's an indie movie. You do what you gotta do.
It can't be an indie movie when it's trying to do something at such a large scale and such a large scope, and it tries to pull off all of these non-indie sort of filming techniques or methods. So it's very confused. It comes across very confused that way.
Speaking of the terrorists blowing up and confused, what was the deal with the 4th terrorist guy? So first, Arif Khan just saves him, which, I mean, I guess it's lucky that it worked out. He kind of just breaks the rules of the operation. And then you find out that the plot was to actually kill them, not kidnap them. And then Nasruddin Shah says, you have to kill the 4th guy. And only then will I reveal the location of the bombs, which is the leverage he has over the city. Kind of remind me of The Rock, actually. Michael Bay. Anyway, before I get too distracted, then he's like, you got to kill the 4th guy. And then
they kill him willy-nilly, bro.
Yeah,
they kill him willy-nilly.
Yeah, that was the craziest commentary of all. I mean, it's not like they kill him. The chief minister says kill him, so they have the permission to do it. But they kind of just kill him in cold blood. And I think that just shows, like, you know, the police, they are bound by law as well. It's not like they don't want to do these things, you know. The fact that they do them. Arif Khan has plays a psychopath or whatever, but he has no problem killing them at all.
Yeah, willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
See, I'm telling you, it's super confused with bad sound mixing, with bad cinematography, and DD Mahabharat level CGI. That's what this movie is.
Wow. How dare you insult DD Mahabharat CGI? It was a key element of
our time. When was the last time you saw it?
It doesn't matter.
The 80s one.
It doesn't matter.
Do you remember the arrows flying?
I don't want to see it again.
Do you remember the arrow battles? Like 2 gods would always like fling their arrows at each other and like slow-mo arrows glide in.
Don't. You ruin enough movies that I watched. Don't ruin the TV that I watched.
Jesus, man. Also, do you think our police department has like a war room like that?
That war room was pretty cool. I think it probably must have a war room like that. Like, they wouldn't have made that up. That was the whole point. It's to showcase the actual competency of the police forces.
I don't know. It just turned from like police to the army all of a sudden. Koi warn karna chahta hai? Koi family ko warn karna chahta hai? No, sir. Koi mar jata hai? Koi karna chahta hai? It's like a very army-ish sort of situation there.
Yeah, it made me patriotic, man. Come on, respect the police.
Made you
forces.
Patriotic.
Respect the forces.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. It's a genuine question. If they have a war room like that, super dope.
Do you think they have a commissioner like that? Because that I could get behind.
Do you think they have a voice interceptor software which goes every time it's switched on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, in fact.
Every time they show the interceptor thing switching on, it's like a whoosh. This movie is hilarious, dude.
This movie is just...
I know what you mean.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
No adjective required apart from that. Okay, man, I've had enough of your whining and whinging. Why don't we end it here? But I just want to point out one of my favorite moments from the film is Nasruddin Shah saying MC and then saying pardon my language and then saying MC.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great? Just to see good old Nasruddin Shah just let loose like that?
No.
Why? Because
I didn't
chopper.
I didn't feel like he let loose. I think he was very like forced.
It was brilliant, dude. The guy's just brilliant. The movie is brilliant. And Neeraj Pandey was brilliant. Okay, I give up.
So that was this week's episode of Film Feud Bollywood. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. And now we feud it, and you, the audience, gets to decide who you think won. You can vote on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just find us at Film Feud Bollywood, or you can find us on our website, manchamedia.com.
Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, or wherever you guys get your podcasts.
See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.